The bridge is yours.
Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
As the music's playing, Dr. Frank made it, so I guess he's semi on time. You know, that's what that's. Is that what your grandparents taught you? Is it?
I don't know.
I thought you were brought up by your grandparents, and they taught you. Well, if you're there, oh yeah, here's your gift.
I'm here in time. Oh, you got me one. Nice.
I got him a bobblehead Trump. A freaking here. Give me that so the audience can see.
There you go.
Put the all right. Here you go. Yeah, it's a Trump with a. Pineapple and what the hell is he drinking now? Pina colada or something? You know, bobblehead.
Nice,
because you know he got.
Let's go to my office. There we go. Thank you.
Yeah, and I got a Trump bottle opener, so we're all trumped up.
Yeah,
I got more Trump crap here. Your people come in, they're going, "You Trump guy?" I don't know, Frank. So I've been paying attention this weekend when we had grandkids and everything. I'm out there watching. I watched a video. I did a lot of Steve Bannon. Okay, so I get Steve. Okay. Then I'm looking at, you know, Nigel Farage, get a little Nigel Farage, Jim Rogers, a little, you know, CNBS, you know, and I'm all right. How does this work? Watch a video on European Union. Man, it is a bunch of gobbledygook.
It's complicated.
Wow.
Yeah.
So where's the hard Brexit? It was supposed to be, if they don't negotiate, it's just 2 years, we're done. We're out. Next, peace. Well, Theresa May kept holding it on, doing something. Boom. She wasn't even up for election, and she resigns as she's going to be out, I don't know, this next week or something.
Mm-hmm.
She resigns as prime minister, and you got Boris, what's his face?
Johnson.
I wish I had hair like Trump, you know, comes in. He's going to, you know, so they say. I mean, we don't know it's going to be him for sure. And so this is everything that Dr. Frank's been saying. He's going, this Brexit, this nationalism, this down to sovereignty of the country of we don't want to take your immigrants no more, of the debt of you get in our budget of you're not allowed if we get in trade and suck it, you know, is happening all over Europe. And the idea
all over
was,
the world. I mean, we'll get to India and the Philippines and South America. I mean, it's not just Europe.
Well, everywhere. The point that he was making is the way they're looking at it now is the European Union wanted to make this so difficult with the United Kingdom as a message. Mm-hmm. And the next person that wants to try this is the crap you're going to go through too. You know, so this is just a tactic more than anything else, you know, and how the conditions are. And you go, but if you do that, then we'll build a wall between South and Northern Ireland, and then you won't be able, because they're two different countries, and then they have a wall, and you can't sell cattle on one side, and you won't be in Brexit, and it won't be part. And you go, okay, I don't care. Now what? So what happened this weekend? Did Frank win?
Well, I don't know if I won. I think what we saw, and we'll, I guess we'll break this down more into the details, but the first off, the polls, I have to say, seem to be correct, which is kind of a little minor or a whole other issue to talk about.
Yeah,
remember, the polls have always been for every nationalist leader so far, Trump, Brexit, Modi of India, the guy in Australia, every single one had
Brazil.
The same Trump issue where they came out and they said there was no way that this person's going to win. You know, the polls are like a 5% chance that this person could win because they're a racist and a bigot. This is, I mean, just take Trump, what we dealt with America, and just repackage it.
And it's put like, it in a three-month campaign.
Yeah, exactly. That's what's been going on in every country in the same thing. It's like Mark Twain once called it, you know, the same dance, just a different tune. And that's pretty much what's been happening. But, you know, we're so isolated in into our own little world of politics, it's hard for most Americans to realize the same crap, the same strategy has been around the world. And the polls that always said that their nationalists will never win were all found to be incorrect. And that's what's been leading up. But what's interesting with the EU vote is it's the first time that nationalists have won where the polls were accurate. In other words, they were within a point of the nationalists winning. So it's almost like you have to wonder.
They're trying to get some credibility.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the globalist leftist media
we'll
are now
tell
saying,
you the truth.
"We'll tell you the truth now." Okay, and then what the kicker is when the
and then we'll ban everybody else.
Well, what's funny is they actually did admit, you know, towards the end that it looks like the nationalists are going to win, and the Brexit Party is going to win. And they were within one point of the polls. But what's so funny is they're trying to spin it now that, well, you see, okay, well, the nationalists won and Brexit won, but, you know, we already predicted that. It's like somehow because they predicted, you know, because they went with honest polling, and now it came out that we already saw that coming. As if it doesn't matter. They're trying to undermine what just occurred. This was not just Brexit. This was not just England. This is around the world, as I pointed out. And the EU vote yesterday was the consolidation of the hat trick trifecta, I've been saying, of this world shift, which I'm going to talk more about. It started with Brexit, as far as at least that, you know, the real tremblings that people could see, and they thought that was a fluke. And then came Donald Trump, which was like the huge shot across the bow of the world for other countries to say, hey, you know, you too can take control of your nation, and there's nothing wrong with being a nationalist, and it's not fascism. And keep in mind, I hate to bring up CNN after all this, but, you know, CNN International, and I keep pointing out, does have dominance, even though nobody else, no one watches them. Their ratings
does
are horrendous.
Have what?
They have dominance as far as the world, the narrative. At least they had.
They're on more TVs and airports of anybody else.
No, it's true. And I told you guys
McDonald's.
On the show when I went to college in Japan.
Walmart.
You know,
Walmart.
Everywhere. I mean, CNN International was like the lifeline. I mean, I remember there's no internet that we were able to really get from back then, at least from news. So CNN International was in all the dorms when I was in Japan, and that was the only.
SpaceX just put up 60 satellites. It's going to change. Go. Go ahead.
So anyway, but CNN is really how the rest of the world would consume. Just like here in America, the only time most Americans hear of anything from Europe, it's the BBC. I mean, there's other stations, but BBC is really how most Americans hear anything going on in Europe. And the same thing for them to hear about us, it's CNN. So they have been pounding this narrative this entire time that the nationalists would lose. And of course, they got trounced around the world. Now, why this is significant, and we'll again break this apart as we go, but is that, guys, what we just saw was a revolution in the dichotomy in political thought in the world. I mean, since at least in America, since Abraham Lincoln won, we began. Of course, the New Republican Party, but this beginning of what we would call the liberal and conservative, right? The left and the right. And that was a shift away from our roots as a nation, which, as Professor Nolan brought up properly, right? The world's smallest political quiz, you know, the libertarian political scientist, that, you know, there's left and right, but there's also libertarianism versus authoritarianism. And if you look at that graph, maybe we should throw it up just for people not familiar with it, but it was the brilliance of Professor Nolan to show that we can't just keep thinking of views as left and right. There's also libertarianism and authoritarianism, which is the kind of the other flip side. And in a way, that's where our country started from. We started from the libertarians, right? Thomas Jefferson, against the authoritarianism, the crown, the king that we just fought against. And so, and like Hamilton, I mean, why do you think all the left and the lefties all love that? You know, the only founding father they all love now is Hamilton. They all have to go to the play and talk about how Hamilton was like slapping around Jefferson and the libertarians. But anyway, but that was the view, libertarianism versus authoritarianism. And after about 100 years and the Civil War and all that occurred, the country kind of realigned into this left versus right. And what we, and I'm going to explain a little more when we come back, but that left versus right is what we've all assumed in our entire life, our grandparents, left versus right. What now has just happened is a world shift of globalism versus nationalism that'll last for probably another 100 years. And
yeah,
that is what
maybe we'll get
the
individualism
yesterday.
One of these days.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's always there.
Oh, it's always there.
That's
advocated
that's
by
what
who?
Happened. This is monumental.
from the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hit me. They're just raising the hammer. Now, bonk. You know, it's like a freaking cartoon, Looney Tunes. You keep getting bonked on the head all the time. Yep, Tarzan Keith say, Tarzan, say hello.
Hola.
Hola. Hola. Yeah, you know, Dr. Frank and I, he's got the perfect gig. He does a lot of ballroom dancing and everything. It's kind of physical work. It gets you, and social. And women with arms around waist, they're squeezing biceps and stuff. So this is like the thing. We got to go see you dance.
I just want about every night.
I want your schedule. Me and you, Frank, we go. Frank, we ever gonna see Keith dance? Come
actually,
on.
There's a live band. If Frank's mom was in town, she'd be all over that, and I'd be dance at least every other one with her.
Yeah, and he'd be all over your mom. He was about ready to say that too. And he pulled it. In slow motion. Yeah, no, yeah. Hey, mom. Yeah, she probably didn't dig that. I think it'd be fun. I want to go see. All right. So I got up here rare earth thing that we did an article on Freedom's Phoenix. I just went and let's do the rare earth thing. So I went and I looked, and over the last couple of years,
we're going back to the whole discussion, right?
Yeah. We'll get to it. All right. Just you know, the rare earth thing. You go a couple of years, and what you find out is that China has been setting up themselves up to be, and we're kind of we'll turn you off and take our football and go home kind of thing. And the U.S., just like with oil, you know, we had the Backland, whatever the hell it was, in Montana there, and North Dakota, and so all of a sudden the U.S. is one of the if not the largest, one of the top three oil producers. I think we do more in Saudi Arabia now. So it's like, and we always knew it was always there. It's just like, it's cheaper over here, and we just go get it from them, and how did our oil get underneath your sand? Well, you got Trump's going to make nice with Saudi Arabia and whatever the hell's going on with there, and we're paying most of NATO to defend Germany against the aggressions of Russia, that Russia is able to afford all their military stuff from all the German buying of their petroleum. They go, why are you doing that? What is, you know? So it's, you know, ouch, quit it, ouch, quit it, ouch, quit it, and I freaking don't care. The overlapping interest of special interest and corporations and industries and so on is just amazing. But what I've seen on the rare earth thing is what's coming up with just about everything, is that there, it's all a difference of a percent or two equals gazillions of dollars, and they will make decisions based on anything other than future security. You know, future sovereignty, future, yeah, but we could have a bigger yacht if we move our manufacturing over to China. And they go, yeah, but then what happens when we say, fine, you're over there and you can't sell here? Now, so hilarity ensues, and Trump is the first one that has come up against China and go, no, I know what the hell you're doing. You think I'm stupid? You know, we're not playing this game anymore your way. And China, it's almost as if Trump and these guys, and they set them up. It's like the farmers here in the U.S. They set them up. You're going to be making crap loads of money, go into debt, buy new equipment, get your robot tractor, do all that, and then we're going to be rich and sell to Russia and China, and then we're not, and kind of, and then they go down, sell the land to the bankers for half of what it, you know, what it's worth, and then you, it's the same crap all over the world, and it's happening. The squeeze on China. China's thinking they're going to be able to get away with this. They way heavily invest in, print up their own money, got in, they're doing the belt thing. So this, you know, article, you know, the QAnon deal was the trade agreement with Japan was open. Here we got that. Now, secretly, they're doing South Korea, North Korea, and China, and trying to save face. Y'all come out, but really, we're in the driver's seat is the argument. But that doesn't mean a trade war is not going to hurt. Now, in amongst all of this that's going on now on the other side of the world, now you have the populism in Europe. That all this negotiation of trade and everything, that's really what it's all about. It is Russia aligning itself with Europe and China. They're the ones that are really coming out ahead on this thing. And China's got its own financial problems and the U.S. That's going to assert something sometime, somewhere, some way. So that is the atmosphere under which how world wars start. So I'm going, okay, Frank, what are we supposed to be paying attention to?
Well, I mean, the first I want to readdress this globalist, nationalist, just paradigm shift. And I don't like to use that word. It's so overused, you know, paradigm shift. But it's really apropos at this point. You know, I want to first just have you guys understand the earthquake, the absolute earthquake that occurred over this past weekend. You know, now the media is already trying to downplay it. You know, they're already trying to say, well, you know, it would have been worse if the globalists didn't hold on. Like they're trying to say that that Macron of France.
We got some seats.
I mean, they were just laughing at the nationalists just a few weeks ago. They're like, there's no way they're going to win. It was the same thing. You know, Hillary's going to win 95%. And then all of a sudden, when Le Pen won here in France, we'll get to all these different ones later. You know, now they're spinning it. Oh, well, it would have been a lot worse. Well, what do you mean a lot worse? You guys said that they wouldn't even have won a seat just a few weeks ago. This has been happening in every country, in Spain, Italy, Austria. I mean, across the board of that this shift has occurred. And they're already trying to spin it as if there's nothing to see here. But the New York Times, just over this weekend, and this is significant in itself, the New York Times of all rags came out and admitted, that we are looking at a new nationalist populist age in the world. That, I mean, they're begrudgingly admitting it, but the fact
that
the left...
What the hell did they think was going on since the Levolution?
You know, you just ignore it. You throw it. You put it.
It won't
sweep it under the carpet. But the fact that they're acknowledging it. Remember the old, what are the old stages? It's kind of hackneyed. That first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, and then they fight you. That whole thing. Well, the thing is, much of it is acknowledgement. They have to first acknowledge you, and up to this point, they have not acknowledged, right? To their detriment, just like with Donald Trump and the rest of it.
A lot of times, people just want acknowledgement. Once they get the acknowledgement, they go, we win, we're good, it's in the news, and my mother-in-law can suck it, and yeah. I told whatever.
Well, what is happening? Again, I was talking before the
Not
break
my mother-in-law.
About it's between the left and the right. Think of it in these terms. You know, and I'm talking big picture here. I mean, all of these countries across the board. I mean, the takeaway, four out of the five biggest vote getters for seats, the five largest power centers in the new EU are now nationalist parties, right? They, none of them. I'll give you an example. Spain, the Spain Vox Party. I mean, you'll see this pattern everywhere. Every one of these countries had a party that didn't exist just a few weeks or a couple years ago. And within weeks or months,
yeah, Farage's, what was his party?
The Brexit. So I'll give you an example with Brexit.
But what was his party? What did he create? It's not UKIP now.
No, no, it's called the Brexit Party.
Yeah, the Brexit Party.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing.
They started like yesterday.
So you had, no, they started like, it was just a few weeks ago. So they had the UKIP.
Yesterday.
And he started this Brexit Party a few weeks ago, and they won. He got more votes than all the other consolidated left parties together. The Vox Party in Spain just started 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks! And they've never had one seat in 40 years.
I'm wondering
they
how that
won
even
24
happened.
Seats. This is every country, guys. This is astounding.
Was it a plan to wait till the end?
No, no. It's just how the population is awoken.
The new fourth...
Okay, no. Let's expand on that a little bit. You know, the... You have Farage comes out in seclusion out of the UKIP, the United Kingdom Independence Party.
He wasn't
Party,
secluded. I mean, I'll give you that.
Well, I mean, yeah, he wasn't being secret, but I mean, he wasn't like running for something. And so, other than the philosophy of and get us out and May sucks, but all of a sudden they decided, yep, we're running for and it's a new party of kind of. What's the mechanism for that? How did that even happen? Was it a party that was already there?
They started from scratch. It's like Ross Perot deciding.
It's like
to
in
run.
A month, all of a sudden they took over seats.
Yes, this is what's already you're waking up here. This is what's happened in every country. Almost all these countries, they all came out of the blue. I've been talking about on your
all right, Sargon,
Italy. We got Italy in the same. The Red Star League. They came out of the blue, consolidated all the different right parties, and Italy trounced. The leftist, the globalist. I mean, Italy was all, they were all in globalism.
Yeah, they pissed off a lot of people in Italy.
Spain, Austria. When you look at all, I mean, Austria was supposed to have been, again, they had their, Australia.
Oh, Donna, schedule Alessandro Fassilla from Italia.
Australia, which is not part of the EU, but Australia had their version of the Australian Donald Trump. Another guy that turned around and there's no way he could win. He's a fascist. He's a racist. And then there's no way he's going to win. And then the night of the election, he won, right? That just happened a few weeks ago. Then you've got Modi of India, right? Prime Minister Modi of India. Same thing. I mean, 4 years ago, this guy won, and he had this story that people were talking. My friends from India were telling me about it, that this guy, you know, this is before Trump won, there was this guy that was not a politician, and he was born really poor, and then he went from rags to riches, and he created his whole business empire in India, this guy Modi.
Well, what is his empire? What does he do?
Well, I don't know what
whatever
he does. You look
money.
It up. But the point is, he's a business guy, right? I mean, this is the same story. And so, you know, all and of course, the India group said there's no way he's going to win. He was going back to traditionalist views of Hindu.
Yeah,
views.
Is he going to be able to use cash?
Yeah, well, you can. He got in and he changed the money supply. I think he did something with gold or I forget. He did. I think he either took gold off
M-O-D-I.
The market or he did. Yeah, MODI. But the thing is, he is a nationalist. Now, I'm not going to say he's an Austrian schooler. I'm a little confused exactly what he did with the monetary supply, about whether he put him on gold or took him off gold. There was something about that. But he knew that the economy had to be more sound, at least from his point of view. But before we get sidetracked on, oh, he didn't do it whatever way. But the point is, he's a nationalist. And just like Trump, they said he couldn't win. They said, oh, this guy is not a politician. He's a business guy. There's no way he can win, coming in with the, you know, with viewpoints that hold Indian culture and Indian traditionalist religion views and culture views ahead of the Muslims, because, you know, they've been fighting the Muslims in India a long time. Heck, Savarda is a Sikh. The Sikhs were massacred by the Muslims. I mean, you know, there was a lot of animosity towards Muslims there in India, but the same thing. We have to accept everybody and this and that, and they feel that their culture is being eroded. So this guy Modi, the point is, he came out of nowhere. And then he won 4 years ago at the skin of his teeth. And guess what the media did? Oh, well, he's not legitimate. Well, it was a fluke. Well, some of the racists came out and some of the people who voted for him are idiots and they didn't know what lever they were pulling. All the same crap, right? I mean, I can't keep up with all this. It's CNN all over the place. So then – They just had the vote just a few days ago. And Modi comes in, and guess what Modi does? He dominated. He came with like 85%, or actually, he just pulled it up. India's Modi wins right, resounding election victory.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone.
They've been fighting them.
Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
And we're back! Trump Report. Dr. Frank Tamburi, Tarzan Keyes hanging out. You know, this is, we went straight through the break because there was like a bunch of stuff to get caught up on. Mainly, there's a nationalistic view all over the world that's coming in. These people that, well, whether they're expected to win or not, they, them, those, and their media outlets don't want you to think they can. That's one of the things. We just convince you can't. And then the people, they don't believe the media anyway anymore. So what they say don't mean squat. They don't care. They don't care. Once you lose, it's all about what I keep saying for decades. I'm going, it's all going to be all about credibility. And when you have none, your audience goes away. Just ask CNN. So this is, you were talking about India's Modi. He won 4 years ago, and then he just won again and shocked the crap out of them, beat their butt. But, you know, there's just because they're nationalists doesn't mean they're doing what I want. And he's the one that's trying to do away with cash, I think. And I'm going, yeah, that's not going to work out. So we'll see how that goes. Because what do they want? They want to control the slaves inside their jurisdiction and get a cut of every transaction. It's all about the money. We'll do better with your money than you will because we got money and nationalistically we'll rule you. Instead of globally because it's our money. What they're doing is they're farming our livestock and it's going to some international. Hell no, that's our money. And I'm going, yeah. But where do they get down the spontaneous order of the individual? And I saw this with the Ron Paul campaign in 08. They're like, look, we need to run it through us so we can spend the money. And I go, yeah, that's very interesting. Let me know how that works out. But individuals are going to do whatever they wanted with the money, and it had a much bigger impact, which is if Trump would to go, you know what? We're going to defend your individual right to trade with whomever you want, any way you want, and we're done. I'm good with that. You want to know where I put my money? Yeah, well, I'll invest $5,000 loan in Bangladesh of somebody with a bicycle shop. Well, what do you care? I get the nope, not allowed. It's got to be done nation state. If you really wanted to support freedom and individualism and America, you just let the people go. And we'll do, but that's not what it is. But we're on the way, one step away from globalism. It's going to nationalism. And Dr. Frank did a good job. You should be on the archive. And it goes through all of these countries. Sum up what you said, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Well, look, I respect the audience and for all of us as far as the individual. But keep in mind, it starts with the individual, and then that leads into, like, your cities. And that goes into the states and state rights over the country. And then the country winds up dominating over the states. And now the countries are all coming together under this globalist initiative. So as much as we'd like to go from a world order down to the individual overnight, the thing is, first you have to get away from this world dominance that they were about to clinch with the George Soros.
Yeah, and I want to get away from that whole mindset of dominance of somebody else.
No, I get that. You know what? Sometimes you got to do it in stages, and just to have the people wake up, the silent majority around the world, to say enough. And I want to we'll approach that before the end of the show, either that or the arc. Archive about the bigger picture of what I mean by what globalist nationalist really is. This new paradigm shift is huge. But going back, we mentioned about some of these changes. Ernie was surprised that so many of these countries all trounced the globalist parties within a few weeks. In other words, these parties came out of nowhere. Not just one. This is in Italy with the Red Star League. I've talked about that on the show for the last few months. Spain, the Vox Party, is only 6 weeks old. 6 weeks old. They've only had one nationalist seat in parliament. And it came all, and matter of fact, since 1970, because Franco was considered a nationalist back in the day, and they thought that was like, it's like Germany putting in a nationalist. So they've only had one seat since 1970 of anyone that was even nationalist in Spain, and now as of yesterday or 2 days ago, 24 seats. I mean, just boom, boom, like whiplash. That's Spain. Then we have Austria, where Austria was considered not to win, and actually they went with this big negative campaign, this October surprise on the nationalist leader in Austria, and it looked like they were that the globalists tanked.
Oh yeah,
the
for Austria, bribery, right?
For bribery
or
and all. And like the kicker is. They actually held on. They actually held their seats, and they didn't do as good as they could have without the scandal, but they actually came in a close second and held the Austrian seats. You've got the Brexit party that's only like 3-4 weeks old, right? Nigel Farage comes out and says,
"See, that's what my surprise was. This national thing, you know, I've seen the people against, and you guys suck and collective bite me, but what surprised me was the way their electoral process works, and all of a sudden, boom, all these parties and all these countries everywhere pop up, and then they get elected, like a month later.
Yeah, because this is how angry and how unified this world
that had to
is.
Shock these. Was that a plan? Was that part of the?
Well, it's not a. What do you mean plan?
They go, "We'll wait until the month before, and then all of a sudden we'll drop all these candidates and go kick ass."
This is not just last minute trying. This is like people out there, I won't mention names, but people who would never vote for Donald Trump, who did so because they felt so desperate. They felt this country was about to be lost, and they did the ultimate Hail Mary.
This scumbag is not near as scummy as that scumbag.
I tell my liberal, some of my leftist friends, you know, stop getting so, maybe instead of just looking at people who voted for Donald Trump with this anger and rage and hatred, like, how dare you? I kind of say it a little differently. I said, you know, think about maybe with some sympathy of people who voted for Trump. Think about the average swing voter, the average American, like my mom or somebody, you know, someone out there. Imagine some regular American out there who felt so desperate and so like threatened by what was going on that they pulled the lever for Donald Trump. I'm talking about people who voted for him. It's not because, let's say, they're that angry as much as maybe they felt that desperate. From a medical perspective, think of the stress level that many Americans have been feeling for decades being marginalized. But anyway, this all came out quickly. It's kind of like what you've said yourself, Ernie, that when the revolution happens, when these things occur, they happen quick. Right, you've said it yourself. We've seen
it won't happen all at once, but it will happen overnight.
Yes,
and I go, what I say, what I always say, you're going to wake up Monday and go, "What the hell just happened?"
And that's what happened.
And it was Monday.
Yep.
And they went, "What the hell just happened?"
Exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it builds up and it builds up and it builds up. And all of a sudden, bam, bam, like dominoes. But what I've said is Brexit was the first crack in the wall, like Pink Floyd. And then Donald Trump was like the big brick that came out of the wall. But it released some of the pressure and showed other countries it was possible too. And then, I've said on your show earlier, then Poland. Of all the EU countries, it was Poland. By who? By
and
also.
Hungary. Actually, he's filing charges against Soros. Yeah. They're going after him.
Viktor Orban. Yeah, Viktor Orban of Hungary. That guy is like the Trump before Trump. So he was already setting the stage. He was like the racist, crazy guy. He was like the Alex Jones of the EU, was Viktor Orban of Hungary. And everyone's like, "Oh, well, it's Viktor Orban." But he kind of set the tone in the EU and gave cover for the others, just like Alex Jones giving cover for other conservative voices out there. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was doing. But then when Poland came out and said that they're nationalist, and they said enough is enough. And we've talked about Poland a bit on this show. They are the quiet, the Clarence Thomas, I've said, of the EU. It's like they're quiet. They don't talk. They never give an opinion. But when Clarence Thomas, after every 20-something years, he asks one question during oral argument
everybody
on the
goes,
Supreme
what?
Court. Everyone goes, "What?" Everyone listens to Clarence Thomas. Well, that's when Poland said enough is enough. And that was earth-shattering to the EU, because when Poland changed, all these other countries, remember I said when Poland did this a few months ago, that opened the break. Yeah. And now when you're asking where all these parties came from, it's Poland giving the cover to these other nations.
You know, when we were in Hawaii at Mark's wedding, Alessandro Fasilla was there. He was in the wedding. He did some dancing too. They had a YMCA thing. It was pretty funny. But we got to talk a little bit about it. He goes, "Oh, yeah, come on. Yeah, well, come on. Let's do it. Because he has law offices in Madrid, Berlin, and Rome.
Oh, wow.
So the guy has got skill. He speaks five languages. So the boy knows what's going on. And I go, "Is this what's going on?" He goes, "Yep. Yeah, it's all Frank. You know, we should have him come on Trump Report with you. Let's see if we can do that. You want to do that?"
That'd be good. Yeah.
You know, we still got to do the day with Anderson and Tarzan and you and me and Tim. Donna's trying to hook it up. So when she gets that set up, we can do that. Earliest time today wasn't today, but
because I still want to bet another dollar with Keith.
Dollar!
The 2020. You take that dollar bet again this time? doesn't matter.
he wasn't bad a dollar, just get another dollar.
I'm not getting another dollar? I want another dollar, Keith. Take me on this time.
No. I think he's going to win.
You think Trump's going to win? I think he's gonna go get you on the mic.
I think Trump's going to win it. I had some friends just the other day say, who's going to beat Trump? I said, I don't think anybody is.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is what we were talking about with Adam in the second hour. All right. What time? Okay, I'll give you a download. Friday, I have Jacob Hornberger on from Future Freedom Foundation, okay? Mm-hmm. In 2000, he kind of threatened to run and gave a speech at the national convention. It could have been a concern, you know, against Harry Brown and all the crap. You know, there's a guy named Michael Emmerling Cloud or something that was a campaign, just, you know, with the party structure we're going to do to make money and matching funds if we kind of, you know, we all get paid. At least they do. And so in the 96 campaign, we're just like, and Rick Tompkins, the state chair here in Arizona, ran against him in the primary, and we got him to not take matching funds. That was like a big deal. Then it goes to 2000. Bumper Hornberger comes up, and Jacob, he comes up and he goes, you know, he has a speech at another hotel across the street. It's like, look, man, we don't want to go down this road of what these guys are doing. We take political welfare to tell people we don't like social and economic welfare. I mean, you know, that kind of crap. So we're going, yeah. Now, Bumper Hornberger speaks fluent Spanish. He's an attorney from Texas that runs the Future Freedom Foundation for the past 30 years. Now, very good libertarian, Catholic, kind of, you know, God-fearing individual of constitution. So to be kind of a more hardcore libertarian answer, freedom's answer was to question Ron Paulish kind of thing in the Libertarian Party. He's going to state conventions. He's running. Then I get Dr. Jeff Singer called me Saturday about something else. And I go, yeah, what's this Justin Amash thing? Oh, yeah. I go, correct me if I'm wrong here. This is a Coke the Puss, freaking Cato, Reason Mac, Justin Amash, going to register Libertarian Congress, run nomination, president, kind of Justin Amash Libertarian thing, right? Oh, yeah, it'll be great. We're going, and he's a senior fellow at Cato. So he's pushing this Justin Amash is going to run as a Libertarian candidate. Okay, for president. Okay, you watch. This is what's working up.
Wow.
At the same time, you got Adam Kokesh going, I'm running for the disillusionment of not president, blah, blah, blah. And I love me some Bill Weld because Bill Weld has been very nice to me. And he's we hate Trump, and he's running for the presidential nomination, Republican Trump. So Bumper Hornberger, Kokesh with this Weld, whatever the hell that's going to be, and Justin Amash. The only thing that Bumper told me, Hornberger, he goes like this. He says, you know, yeah, I can just see Amash and his Republican buddies coming in the LP, and they'll take direction from the LP, yeah, and the platform. Yeah, right. It's going to be another Barr freaking, you know, Weld Johnson crap, you know? And I'm going, you know, if we could get a real libertarian dude, kind of the Ron Paul, that'll be Jacob Hornberger. So this is going to be interesting, and I'm going for the show! They're going to be a show. I'm going to go for the show.
I just think that I know you guys are going to disagree with me. It's fine. And it's good that, you know, you have your principles with it. But to me, the Libertarian Party should just stay out of the way for this next election, because this is about the deep state. And this is a larger issue. I'm just telling you. It's like arguing about Ron Paul about legalizing marijuana.
The definition of libertarianism clearly defined without it being defined by some Republican, Democrat, or media. That's all I want.
All right.
That's all I always wanted.
Well, make it as a good placeholder to keep to keep what
that
the
was bad Nerick.
Principles. That's fine.
They go, well, bad Nerick didn't get hard. Like, don't care.
By the way, this just came over right now, Ernie. Just take a look at this.
All right, what am I looking at?
Just look at the title.
Amid Politico. Censorship fears, Trump campaign checking out alternative social
media.
Oh, I mean doing their own?
Yeah, they're going to create their own.
All right. We get to talk about that.
This is great. You out of here?
No. See you there, brother.
LRN.FM.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, I gotta sing over it a little bit. Or the filters get me! They go, you're not allowed. Yeah, that was one thing that James Corbett, he said, yep, I'm not long for, you know, he puts on all the other stuff and everything. He goes, we couldn't even load one of the shows on YouTube because one of the shows that he was on had some music playing just a few seconds of that. Boom, wouldn't even take it. And he's going, yep, here we go. Yep, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go, here we go. Social media is just being butt. What's Trump going to do? What's he going to do?
Yeah, I just, as Ernie and I were kind of shooting the you-know-what, on Politico, just came over the wire. Here's the top story from Politico, which tends to be left-leaning. It says, amid censorship fears, the Trump campaign is checking out alternative social network. They're actually looking at, I guess there's one called Parler, the fledgling social media network Parler. And maybe there's some others, but they're
no, they already got it picked. It's their buddy of somebody.
I'm sure it is, whatever. But the point is, this is now bleeding into mainstream, quote, well, screw that word mainstream anymore, the leftist media. They're acknowledging, like, hey, you know, the President of the United States himself now is saying, all right, I'm done with you guys, and now my peoples, we're going to be moving over here, and like you said, we're just going to turn our back on them, ignore them, and go with new media, and that's what's occurring. So, anyway, I do want to make a note about what I keep mentioning about this globalist nationalist deal, okay? I mean, on one hand, I'm excited to go over all the results and with this and that. But let me, because this is our last break before we go into the archive, I just want to point out a larger picture of what's happening. You know, traditionally we've had after the Civil War, and we went from, you know, the libertarian views versus the authoritarian, it became more left versus right. And what began happening, especially after World War I, was that America in particular joined other parties around the world, or at least the philosophy, which was that the right represented imperialism. Right, the idea that was kind of Western views. There was imperialism. Now, on one hand, you had, you know, we would have empires and the British Empire and all. And America doesn't see itself as such. Dr. Ron Paul always likes to remind us it's called the American Empire, and he's correct. But we always have excuses why. You know, oh, well, we have to keep up the petrodollar. Oh, well, we have to rebuild countries after World War II because we're just so nice. I mean, whatever we have to put the Titan missiles in Turkey facing the Soviet Union, which of course set off the Cuban Missile Crisis. Right. I mean, so we always have excuses why we have our people all over the world and doing whatever we're doing. But that was the right. And it became kind of the purview of conservatives, of the military, of having a strong military to stop another fascist takeover of the world. And, you know, I don't want to get too much into old history here, but you have to understand, you know, we're talking about generations of people, including McCain, as much as I despise McCain here. But you know, he comes from a generation where people lived through two world wars. I mean, not McCain himself, but, you know, World War I, World War II. You had these two world wars. And America and the world said enough is enough. What's going on in this world? It's like the 60s when everyone's getting shot with Dr. King and JFK. The world was looking at these world wars that were just eating up humanity and whatever it took to stop it. Now, what that led into was a strong military and then deep state funding and then hidden funding. And that turned into the military industrial complex and then the corruption, which eventually led to, you know, Vietnam, Korea, Watergate, the Pentagon papers, I mean, all of this kind of stuff and unchecked corruption, which then the left correctly, you know, called the right out for, and that turned into the last 30, 40 years of the left agenda until the left has now become the establishment, and they're just as corrupt as the conservatives they took over.
Now, you're saying like there's two different things warring for the establishment.
I'm not saying either one is perfect.
No, they're all the same.
Ernie, but there are ebbs and flows. There are always
ebbs and flows are the same.
So, all right.
It's like the blob.
So this left.
But it's got like purple and red. It's kind of purple because it's got red and blue spots in the blob, but it's still coming after me, okay? I mean, the front of it might be kind of reddish or blue or purple, but it's the freaking blob, and to make any difference
is the color. All right. Look, you can just have at me after the break. I just want to get this part out here. So you've got so we had this left versus right, and what started happening was the right, if you think about this, was focused on the world, right? Having our military bases around the world, and there was reasons that they justified because because of the world wars that people saw. I mean, there was wounded soldiers and PTSD. And how come many of our grandparents, like my grandparents, never talked about the war? It was like they ignored it. And many of you guys know what I'm talking about. The old generation never talked about what happened overseas, some of the travesties that occurred. So it was, you know, it was part of us. That generation's died off. John McCain is a perfect example of the people. It's all military. But what started to happen? Instead of having the conservatives all about the world, the response was the liberals. The liberals said, we need to focus at home. So the conservatives were about the world imperialism, and the liberals were about, you know, bringing it home. We have to take care of our own people. But what's interesting, what happened is that the left went from focusing on just our own people to the antithesis, where now they're the ones that want to take over the world. Of course, they do it, you know, with peace and love and handshakes and global warming and carbon taxes and get rid of religion and secularism and all of this. They went from focusing on the people at home to focusing on the poor and everyone, the so-called disenfranchised, which, you know, it's all a scam anyway, but around the whole world. And so now this is the response, is that the conservatives that we're always about having our troops around the world, we're pulling the troops home. I mean, and I don't mean just America. I'm talking about the countries. Now, I know you can tell Ernie's preoccupied because when I said pull the troops home, he didn't jump on me, which I figured he would.
Listening.
He'd be like, hey, how come Trump didn't pull troops first day and all this? And I get it. The Moab bomb. I don't want to get down that right now. You don't just pull them off overnight. But the thing is, the concept of regrouping here, of having the troops focus on our own border, what has happened in this shift with the EU is a resetting of all of this. So instead of left versus right, we have this new dichotomy. It's globalism versus nationalism. It's secularism versus traditionalism, right? You have populism versus the elites. Okay, that is the new setup that's occurred. I mean, that's what it is. It's not left versus right anymore. And it's kind of almost hard to think about that because we're so used to, at least, you know, maybe not out of Freedom's Phoenix, because they're all alike, you know, to a lot of us. But it's this left versus right, but it's been turned on its head. And that's another problem that the left has with Donald Trump. They couldn't put him into a box. What exactly is he? Oh, well, I guess if we can't put him into a box as some kind of conservative like McCain and Bush, then he's evil. He's dangerous because we don't know who he is. No, I know I got who this guy is. He's a populist nationalist. And then they want to turn that into that it's fascist, right, to defend one's country. But isn't it kind of ironic where the party or the philosophy that was about taking care of our own people were the liberal Democrats since the 60s as a response to the imperialism of the conservatives. And now it's upside down, right? But it's not just reversed itself. It's just realigned. It's like, there's like a new skewing of this. So I wanted to just get that out.
What's realigned?
The philosophies that we're dealing with in our minds, you know, it's not this left versus right. It's like libertarianism versus authoritarianism, which is what I led off this whole segment with the hour. You know, Nolan was trying to point out that our country was libertarian versus authoritarian. We'd fought a king, but then after about 100 years after the Civil War, things began shifting. Instead of this libertarian versus authoritarianism, it shifted to this liberal versus conservative, which we take for granted. We just assume that's how politics is. It isn't. It hasn't always been that way.
No, it's always been. Oh, God.
Now
this is my point.
It's shifted again to this globalist versus nationalist narrative, and that's now the new setup.
The globalist, national, kind of the they, them, those, they, somebody, them, those. Somebody has greater claim to my money than me, whoever it is, you know, of Lyndon Johnson. Then it goes, you know, you have, you know, John Galt. You know, you had Barry Goldwater. No, we're for the individual and defense of liberty, no vice kind of thing. And, you know, Carl Hess being his speechwriter and so on. Then you got, you know, here comes Reagan. Reagan. Now, you know, kind of this nationalistic Trump thing, make America great again. You know, then it goes, you know, the collectivist of Clinton, Bush, Obama, and then you have the individual is kind of getting almost representative. We're conservative the other side. But during the entire thing, they're all wrapped in the flag. They're all about the supremacy of the national government over the local, of we're going to kick your ass, and that's what we're fighting over. They're not fighting over what really people are motivated by is their own voice. And You say it's a rise of conservatism around the world, I say it's not.
I did not say conservative. Did you hear anything I said?
Okay.
I said
what
nationalism, populism versus globalism. My whole point was it's not conservative and
nationalism
liberal.
Sounds a little governmenty to me.
You got to clean your ears, buddy.
Governmenty.
All right, archive. Spreading the message
of liberty, cryptocurrency, and...
All right, now we get to
my whole point was it wasn't conservative liberal. It's a different way of thinking. That's what's different about this. It's why it's hard to put
you know,
in
it
box.
Would be easier, and this is why I'm encouraging Hornberger to run. He just sent me, that's why I was having Donna put this up in his archive for Friday and on the site now. Did you put it up on the site yet? She's doing it right now. So this is his view of Weld and him running in the LP and all that kind of stuff. And he had it goes, yeah, this is what you're talking about, Ernie, and boom. And I don't know when he wrote it. Maybe he wrote it after we talked. But the I'm just going, yeah, this is – I understand what you're saying, but what I don't see is that this is a embracing of conservatism, a conservative view of ruling you. You know, we're going to rule you better. And I, whenever I was on the campaign trail, that's why I like libertarian campaigns, because they go, look, I know what this guy's going to say. He's going to rule you and kind of do it this way and your money and kind of for a noble cause. And then this guy's going to get up on the other side. Yeah, well, he sucks and he shouldn't be allowed to do that. And that's bad because we should be in charge of it. And I'm going, what the hell's the difference? Who's advocating for you to be able to do what you want with your money? That's never even brought up. Not even brought up. We're going to kick ass in military for these reasons instead of these reasons. Well, then it's okay then, you know, lay, you know, baby body parts all over the walls inside a wedding. So I'm just going, no.
Right, before we just go, just assume this whole thing is moot because you just want straight out anarchy. The thing is, you're always going to have collectives to some degree. And if you want to go back to Negan's battle on the wall, we can go back to that. But it, you know, at the end of the day, you know, where do you feel more representation? Is it the world government or is it your local township? Right? Which group represents you more? Right? And that's
none of them.
Well, no. I said
no. I'm not allowed to say that.
No. Which one represents you more?
None of them, because they do not recognize my opinion that I own myself. That's the first MF in question. Do you recognize that when you put your hand on my shoulder, this is my life? Nope. Got to have it to do blah, blah. I don't care. I mean, it doesn't even, blah, 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 blah. Don't even care what their reasoning is. You know what I mean? See, you think it's like, well, they're going to do it better. Well, which one represents your enslavement more? Which one represents your, you know, chattel slavery of your ruling or of your dog leash more? Which one has the longer leash? I mean, I'm going, what kind of stupid freaking question is that, in my opinion?
Ernie, you've even told me that when I'm on your pirate ship, you still get the captain's quarters, I get something else,
Damn,
if you don't like my cologne, you're going to kick me the hell off.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, and you're not going to build this pirate ship by yourself, Ernie. I mean, this is going to be a collective, right?
You didn't start that business on your own.
That you want to be Lord and Savior over, right? And you're going to be king over your little pirate ship.
Village.
So we're really going to go back, and that's the village. So that's what I'm saying. If I'm going to be ruled... If I'm being ruled or have any kind of organization structure, I'd rather Ernie Hancock in his pirate ship hanging out with Adam Kokesh and Tarzan. We're all floating around. We're all having fun because at least we agree on more than we disagree, rather than having some globalists sitting there telling me how to do things from Brussels. That's what this is about. This is why this realignment was coming, because at the end of the day, I would give my life defending my family, right? I'd probably give my life trying to defend you, just being a really, well, I don't know about Ernie, but at least Donna, you know, as far as my
how many arms
friends,
and legs you willing to give up for a flag?
So, the thing is, how much further, think about this, how further out would you give your life for someone? Is it maybe someone from your church, someone maybe your neighbor? How about someone from a different state? But obviously,
you know what it really comes
not,
down
wait,
to?
Wait, not from other countries. And that's where so many people and military people during the 80s and 90s started to rebel against the UN, when all of a sudden we're pledging allegiance, our troops, to fight for the UN, not the United States. And that was a big deal when American soldiers were getting, you know, reprimanded. disbanded or thrown out or whatever, dishonorable discharge or whatever, because they would not support the UN. And that is what this world is seeing. It's like the globalists want people to give their lives for this larger meta issue. And at the end of the day, people will only give their lives
exactly my point.
For the down towards the individual. But if it's globalism versus the individual, we'll always pick the individual. But until everyone, we have full-on anarchy for individualism, it becomes a group. So you give your life for my family group or my group of friends or maybe your township or your state. Or I know this is a little too big. Like, what I mean is like it's too many people for you. But that would be maybe a country. And I know as much as you've been fighting against the country over the individual, but the country's all been swallowed up by the globalists.
If the country represented, and I had this Merca flag that represented the idea that they recognized my individual rights, that was their reputation, that was their goal, that was their history, that was their efforts has been to defend me against, and I'm going, yeah, I can see, I am Spartan, I go out and kick some ass, maybe, but if they're going to make me do it, nah, I'm not going to do it, because you even have the power to make me, that makes you a scumbag, okay? And who was Peter Fonda? Was that the old, about the Civil War family where some of his sons went and fought in the North and the South and China? It was a great anti-war speech that he gave in there. Look, I didn't raise sons to go fight their crap. I don't care. They appeal to this nobility of I'm going to risk and do and dun dun dun. And of course, teenagers think they're invincible anyway. And I'm just going, no, I'm for where's that country that's not going to get me in the war? Where's that country you wanna kick ass on China? You go, all right, is this thing on? You're free, I'm going golfing. Go kick ass. Go sell manufactured bed paste. You do that, you unleash America on the world, it would be an ass whipping like they ain't never seen, which was the reason why we industrialized and went so far and fast as we did before. And they go, oh no, it was the railroads. And they gave, I'm going, no, all this monopoly crap that they did is what stunted the growth. We would be the Jetsons now if you just got the F out of the way. So if they don't recognize that my whole purpose for even acknowledging that there is a government is the defense of individual rights, and if they don't recognize that, they are my enemy. Not my frenemy, not kind of a little bit, not on the chart of the scale of autistic, they don't know what to do with their power. No, they're freaking scumbags because they don't fundamentally recognize my sovereignty over my life. And to get to that, they have to do where I live. That's where the pirate ship comes in. They go, no, but where are you? We know where you are. Are you on the grid? Oh, you're condemned because you're not on the grid. You need to be on the grid. This is where it's going. And I can see what's happening. It's so obvious, with the smart city crap that's going on here. We're going to have some fun in 2020. You're talking about, see, all this, conservative, this individualism. Well, it's not even individualism. It's
the nationalist.
Nationalistic.
This is where you.
Where do you think this globalist comes from? It comes from a bigger nationalist. We're going to take this nationalism we think is better, and we're going to globalize it.
Would you at least admit?
I admit it.
That between what? That
the, shut the, you up. I admit. I'm healed. You changed my mind, Frank.
Hey, I see a lot of Trump swag around here. I'm just saying.
I know. Anybody comes in here like, what the hell? You keep bringing more crap. Well, I got you a bobblehead from Hawaii. He's a Hawaiian Trump.
Hey, can I still, my birthday's coming up soon. Can I borrow that the Trump stand-up? You still got him here?
Yeah.
The stand-up Trump?
Yeah, he's around somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
I think he's over here.
Yeah. All right. Yeah,
go get him for him so he doesn't forget it, Donna.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, the thing is, between the individual, okay, of what you want to do in your house, and the world government in Brussels, a bunch of people who don't even speak your language telling you how to live your life, would you admit that having the nation help decide what you're going to do is at least better than, I know, this is like,
see,
this is like
just,
the equation from
hell. I gotta take your shovel away from you.
No, I mean, I'm not saying it's perfect as a libertarian anarchist, but you're getting closer.
I'm saying it's not
the world
different.
Government.
That's my point. It's a mindset.
Different. Well, it's a mindset that this nationalist, globalist
you delegate
just
authority over your life to something or somebody else. And I don't give a crap how big that thing is.
Yeah, but what I was saying earlier is that the conservatives of the past wanted to be the busybody of the world. Okay, now the liberals, the left, has now trying to become the busybodies of the world. So of the both the old conservative wing and the new leftist wing, both of these groups that were the establishment, when the conservatives were the establishment up until Nixon, okay, they were about imperialism and taking over the world in different ways. They always justified it. And now the left, you know, since Nixon, is about taking over the world and imperialism. Of course, you know, it's through, you know, saving global warming or climate change and all this kind of thing, and going further and further, you know, as far as one world order and how we'll give peace a chance. And we'll have peace like John Lennon once everybody agrees the same way, right? That's how they look at it. So now you have a group that is maybe it'll change again and find imperialistic views in the future. But you have this mindset that is different than the old conservatives and the new liberals, which is we don't want to be in everyone's way. Let these nations regroup and rediscover who they are as people. It's the cultures. It's cultural insecurity, economic insecurity, okay, border insecurity. These are the three things that have been driving this nationalist view that has been ignored by the right through all those years of imperialism, and now with the left and this world of this one world order, we can all give, you know, we've diversity, but everyone's got to be thinking alike. I mean, that's the greatest hypocrisy of them. But that's what we found. And in a way, Ernie, this is why you and I believe in our friends, because as much as you think we're on two different viewpoints here, those two worlds of one world of a world order through military or the globalist military, like the EU wanted a world European military, we're now finally with Trump leading the way at the UN saying, I'm a nationalist. I don't want to take over your countries. I'm not a fascist and wants to take over nations. I just want to go back home and take care of my own country, just like all of you should be focused and make the priority your country.
Right.
And that is a segue towards the individual. It may not be the anarchy that you want, but you have to at least admit it is a huge, profound shift of people awakening to their own individual needs and culture.
Okay.
Oh, God.
This is because all right. I give you this. When he goes to the United Nations, he does this, and he goes, you know what,
Rocket Man.
You know,
that's all there.
Oh yeah, Kim.
Yeah, that's the only thing that made
Elton.
On CNN. He said Rocket Man.
I just call him Elton. Anyway, so you know, I call him Kim Young grandson, whatever, because it's like the third in line of. I don't care. All right. So this is the deal. Jim Rogers is saying, he goes, Kim Jong-un wants to do a deal, man. He's been trying to get a deal. It's like all these South Korea wants
Jim
a deal.
Rogers, with Jim Rogers.
Yeah. He goes, everybody wants to deal. It's just a warmonger, and they don't want a deal. And I tell you, he goes, you know, in the future, everybody could be Jetsons, and we all kick ass. We just get in peaceful and kind of we're done. But no, these guys that want to, they want to dictate to China, and China wants to dictate. Everybody's going to dictate. And if we just, you know, leave people alone being great and wonderful, and I'd be living large here in Singapore, okay? So his daughter now, I remember when she was born, he used to come on Charles's show and everything, and he taught her Mandarin.
Yeah.
Now he's like, you got to get a job. Got to get a job. You're rich. You got to get a job. I go, nope. Dad said, got to get a job. He thinks he's going to go work at fast food or something. So she's making $25 an hour teaching Mandarin.
Nice.
Or teaching English to Mandarin, whatever. She's, you know, doing language stuff. So he's like, damn it. You know, okay. Well, I guess that worked out. So he's talking about the future based on a lot of things that you're saying. And this is how I look at it. I mean, to be honest and bring my guard down and not always kind of, you know,
I won't tell anybody, Ernie.
Is that I understand the advocacy for individual rights as the greatest weapon in my quiver. It's a big, giant, freaking ICBM in my quiver of I win, okay? Because I'm going to go, yeah, are you down to the individual? Until then, what the hell good are you? Well, when Trump goes to the United Nations and he says, look, you know, we're sovereign nations. You come to the UN not to be part of some club they're going to beat you over the head with and do a European Union of consolidation of globalist of we rule you. You know, I'm going to run America. You run, you're going to run. But we are going to run it. Damn it. don't run my country better than you gonna run about, but I'm gonna run it. We'll see how much I'm gonna run it, okay? So then I'm going, well, yay, frying pan fire, what's the freaking difference, you know? So they're not advocating what I want advocated there, is that when you say run, make America great again, that's why I keep saying, what is his definition of America and what is great? If he was to define it, which he may, I mean, he's playing this game, which he may, the definition of America is the fact that all of our military, all of our law enforcement, all of our alphabet soup of everything is there to protect your individual rights to do whatever you want inside America, you're free. He does that. Amen, brother. You know, if you're going to have an entity that is there to protect my individual rights, I'm all in on that American land of, you know, whatever. So I, you know, peace, and I'll like not oppose you. I mean, not even right. Hell, I may go and benefit from the freaking super duper economic catalactic. Everything's great and wonderful and cheap of Jetson life of, and this is what happens. Get the hell out of the way in medicine. Get the hell out of the way in economics and energy and communication and satellite based. Of Elon just put up a freaking constellation, you know, up there, and you can see it. You know, really? 60 satellites in a group, and they're just now starting to, you know, string of pearls starting to go out, wow. And now it's going to be 400. He's already put up the first 60 of 400 and have, you know, worldwide coverage of, you know, something to something. And it's going to get more and more and more. And then what happens? United States America government decide the next, you know, two space companies that they're going to have for the military and moon, that will not include SpaceX. You're not allowed. What? And he goes, what? Wait a minute. What was that based on? How in the hell did you come? So they sue. And we're going, I don't give a crap whether they do them or not. I just want to know what the hell the thought process was. What they go through. Nah, you're not allowed. I'm going, who are these people that decisions?
We have new rent-a-cops that are going to be part of the Space Force, which I know you're a fan of.
What do you mean rent-a-cops?
You know, as far as rent-a-cops up in the orbit, you know, when you decide to put stuff up in orbit, and now you've got little rent-a-cops going, are your papers in order? You don't show me your certification.
No. I'm going to be rent-a-satellite, rent-a-robot that's going to be defending the blah, blah, blah,
exactly,
blah, blah.
Exactly.
Space Force! You know,
You're not registered.
You know, so when Trump goes to the United Nations, and he talks about, you know, you should be able to rule your slaves any way you want, and kind of that's your, and I get to rule mine. If he was to make the point that America, we will not, our whole purpose of being from the declaration, from the beginning, the purpose of our existence is the freedom of our citizens, of the freedom of the people. You're inside home base, the borders, you are free. And everything else that we do is to support that. But that's not what he says. And until he says that, I don't give a shit how small his national whatever and closer to have got, because it doesn't change the fundamental purpose of them even existing. Because if you go, yeah, what he says, I'm national America, what's going to make it great again? Better ruling, better surveillance. He signs this infrastructure, $2 trillion, we're going to make nice with the Dems, and they, well, we're still going to impeach you. Fine, well, I ain't doing a deal until you, ouch, quit it. You want a bunch of money? I got a bunch of money. And what's it going to go to? Is it going to go roads and bridges? I guarantee it's going to go a big, giant infrastructure of surveillance. Guarantee it. There is no way they ain't getting a big, giant paycheck for they're going to surveil me more. And what's going on in China is coming here. It's already going to being imported into Australia. The United Kingdom had, I remember, got a decade ago when I first started doing radio, I found out that the United Kingdom had 40,000 closed circuit television just in London. I went, holy shit. And then you found out they got as many or more to build in Chicago. And then everywhere, everywhere else, all this closed circuit, they got into my Nest Amazon of I kind of Alexa and, you know, and get me more peanut butter while you watch me, you know, eat the sandwich. Wow. So when you say, but it's closer, what?
Ernie, it doesn't mean that's the end goal. It's not the end goal. It's like,
I'm not going to golf clap until he says the purpose
Ernie, okay.
Next.
Should we take down I can't wait for the answer to this one. The Lincoln Memorial. Let's take down the Lincoln Memorial.
Privatize it. Give it
because Abraham Lincoln.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Because Abraham Lincoln, all that loser did was, you know, he freed the slaves, right? The 13th Amendment. But that
he enslaved the rest of us.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't the 30th. So he freed the slaves.
14.
What I meant was, I'm getting this completely wrong, but my principle is he freed the slaves, but he did not give them the right to vote. Right? That came later. So therefore, do we say that Abraham Lincoln was a loser because all he did was free him? He didn't actually give them the vote. So therefore, he didn't complete the job and get all the way to the end game, which I know to you is who cares about voting anyway. I get that. But that's where I see that you're making your flaw, is you're just throwing the baby with the bathwater and saying, well, you know, well, all right, well, he's not a globalist, but nationalism, populism, whatever, Frank, it's all the same to me, because there's a rent-a-cop up the street with a little shiny badge telling me blah, 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 so it doesn't matter. Half the time, I can't tell if you're serious about what you're talking about.
No, I mean, Trump. So if Trump was Lincoln and there was a secession of states and he said, no, you pull the speech he gave at the UN that I rule my people's there and freaking you're not allowed and, you know, in Gettysburg.
So, Ernie, you know what a lot of this is?
Gettysburg.
And I was, you know, I think this
Damn
is.
It, we're part of the union
I think
now.
Much of this, Ernie, is also, and I don't want to get too sidetracked with this, but it's mired with the discussion of technology and the revolution in technology and our approach with it. You know, I think what we're going to see coming, and I don't mean this to be a whole sidebar here, Ernie, but I think we're going to see a cultural kickback, pushback to technology. We're already starting to see it now, you know, between Facebook and social media. But
I want Jarvis, not Alexa.
We're seeing this more and more, where it's like, oh, wow, we love having OnStar so our car can sit there and unlock the car for us and help us out if we're stuck. But then it turns
Why
into,
is that
wait
centralized through General Motors? How come it's not to my own server of encrypted, of satellite?
That's
the thought process.
No, but these are the questions the average person, not libertarians, there are INTJ Myers-Briggs, that we tend to be a little more independent.
No, I'm going to get a mask in it.
Okay.
You watch his campaign.
Well, that's what's happening. I mean, people like Dr. Paul and many of us listening, with the effect and influence we have with our friends and family, we're explaining this. But for most people, it's like, okay, well, wow, look, my car can talk to me. That's great. Oh, I can have, you know, oh, the car can listen to what I'm saying and put on the windshield wipers for
me. And Tesla goes, we can track everything. You go, woohoo, as long as Tesla's doing it.
Yeah, but in the beginning, we can see this a mile away. Like, when we hear that the car responds to our voice, we're already thinking of 10 ways how the surveillance state can do it. But most of our friends and family just call us paranoid. I mean, I had people a decade or so ago who couldn't believe that there were GPS trackers in your phone and the government could, like, track you.
And turn on your microphones and all that stuff.
I had liberal friends tell me that it was just paranoid, right?
Crazy.
So or banks, you know, how many people, like, I'm still the one of the last holdouts that walks in with my check into the bank, and I deliver my check every Friday. Well, not Friday, because I don't.
You just don't phone scan it like my kids do.
But you got most people, they say,
phone scan.
Matter of fact, although you don't see seniors around anymore, they've all retired or passed away. But for almost a couple decades, bankers used to kind of chuckle and say that I was the youngest person that would come in on a Friday and deposit my check. It was all a bunch of gray hairs and then this young kid, Tambori, who was, you know, they all knew me because I was the only one doing it.
Because you had your own business. If you work for a company or corporate, they don't even want to write check. They just want to deposit in your bank account.
Exactly. And so, but the thing is, I did it on principle. Remember, my grandparents from the Great Depression taught me a few things from the Great Depression. But I'm a little different. But, that goes without saying, yeah.
A little different.
A little different. But the average person, it's like, well, wait a minute. Well, look at the convenience. I can do automatic deposit. And then at that point, I can get an app and I can change everything on my phone. I could change my banking on the phone. Convenience, right? And it's like boiling the frog, right? Very slowly. And people have thought it's great. Oh, social media, Facebook. Oh, I could check out what my old friends from high school, my old girlfriend's been doing. Oh, I could do this and do that. And then you start to see through all this technology, all these changes the last 20, 30 years, or maybe longer, is that it's all these conveniences and people who were not as paranoid as most of this audience. You know, we all saw through the dangers. Most people couldn't. And now they're all coming together. Now it's like, oh, well, we got GPS locators and we've got all this technology in your car. And what's the next step? Oh, well, your car is going to drive for you. You don't even have to drive. And of course, when enough people have automatic driving cars, then they're going to turn around and say, why are you still driving? Because because you're more of a threat. The computer, if everyone had robot cars on the road, then we'd be much safer. But it's the person who's the holdout, the person who still drops their check off, the person who still wants to drive their own damn car. You're the threat against the rest of us. So eventually,
and they'll make it a social thing, just like they did with writing checks, and you got to do Visa and the kind of. Remember the commercials they had? All of a sudden, the line, everything's flowing, and people are pining and checking out, and it's all rainbow and roses. And all of a sudden, somebody's writing a check. Everything stops, and they go, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're going to do the same thing, and it's going to be crypto.
And then they and start charging you for it. First, that's a convenience. Then they switch it, and they charge you. So it's like if your bank could either keep sending you the notices, like your statement in the mail every month like they used to, or if it's a convenience, we can send it by email. Which would you like? Then now it's to the point where now if you still want it sent to you, they charge you. I'm at a credit union that charges me because of the paper and the stamp, right? So they charge me a convenience fee to do what's been done before because everyone decided to be convenient, right? But eventually now, of course, the banks and the government has control over your money, and which is why crypto, of course, was the response to it. Anyway, I don't get too much into all these asides, but technology is something where people slowly just got acclimated, they wanted convenience, and now we're starting to see the pushback. It took this long for Joe Schmo to turn around and say, you know, maybe it's not all rainbows and unicorns as I thought, because we're seeing the problems of all this technology. Well, this technology also is what's shrunk the world. You know, it's allowed the globalists and such to kind of unify and come together, because, you know, nobody knew what the hell was going on in Japan, 100 years ago. We didn't know, or people didn't care. But it's with technology and, of course, the first telegraph wire that went under the Atlantic that started to link the two continents and the two worlds. And, of course, now it's everywhere. But I lost my train of thought a little bit. Oh, there's the dog ears on me. It was just the fact that this technology, I think, is part of this pushback. You know, people are seeing the problems, what seemed like an obvious solution and a benefit of everyone being together in one world order, you know, all the benefits, people are starting to see the cracks in it. And just like they're pushing back on technology, they're pushing back on the globalist initiative of going home. I think in many ways, the world, I think, is looking for just a break. I think people just want a break to resettle and figure out who we are. How do we deal with this technology? How do we deal with news? Where do we get the news? Think about this also, Ernie. I know where I was going with this. Is we had this globalism, which is it's all about the big picture, and then we have the individual, right, on the other side. So it's interesting how the same technology on one hand is allowing everyone to be unified together, hence what I was talking about, all this conveniences and linking everyone up and kids playing Mortal Kombat with other kids from China. You know, you can sit there and play video games with somebody talking Chinese right now, right? I mean, the world is so unified, and we're finding that we're all human and we all love our parents, and the globalists are saying, why do we need boundaries? Why do we need any structure? Because we're all together in one world. We're all one group of people. We don't need, it's religion and culture that gets in the way of everyone being together. So it's interesting how the technology, the same technology, Ernie, that is now that the globalists wrap themselves around saying that we're all the same, is the same technology that you harness and we like, which harnesses the individual. Because now that same technology says, I don't have to listen to Casey Kasem and Wolfman Jack.
Decentralization
I could listen
overwhelming
to whatever I want.
The planet.
And that's what this is, Ernie. It's nationalism, populism versus globalism. It's the same technology that on one hand unifies everybody and makes us the same, while at the same time empowers the individual to be really who they want.
But
that's the quandary.
It takes an opinion. The general public, if the opinion is this technology, watch Black Mirror or Twilight Zone, right, or, you know, Night Gallery, whatever the hell they got going on, remake or something now. You know, this is all about, Black Mirror is scary as hell.
Oh, it's a great show.
Because I can't watch it more than a couple less episodes a month.
It gets depressing. It really is.
A couple episodes a month, I'm like, yeah, I know, yeah. I get it. And they'll say, well, if you don't know what you don't know. I don't want to pollute my mind with this stuff. Of course I know these are the possibilities, but the more you dwell on it, the more it's likely to happen. It's like Tomorrowland. you know, with Clooney and the little girl with the and the boy with the jetpack. You know, you watch Tomorrowland. The
you
whole
watch
point
that?
It was awesome.
I think it was one of the three people who watched.
No, you should watch it. You'll see. It was like the old boy, Disney kind of. Well, the point was is that you get. Which wolf lives, the negative or the positive, the one you feed. And the whole point of that was, you know, the bad future was because they were dwelling on it so much, and the tachyon beams of the kind of the machine of the future, blah, 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 was creating this future because they were focusing on the negative so much. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't need all the, it's like brings it to pass. I want to focus on the positive, which is what? Recognition of the individual, yada, yada, yada. So then I'm going, all right, well, here we got to go through all this stuff and the technology up. Where's the choice? It's Jarvis or Alexa. It's central command. If I go to the central command of the cloud of somebody central and I go, please allow me access to my money. Let me use this crypto this time. Give me the private key of whatever the hell. Make sure that my car goes where I want it to go, how it go, and you give me a permission slip. Thank you for playing, and I totally agree, Google Maps, and the location of we get to track everything, and even after an Uber walks you into which store you went to, and that gets sold to, blah, blah, blah. And then you're going to have Amazon's doing a car, same thing, and Apple and Google. Everybody's going to get everything of everything inside, and they want to come in. The Cox gave me a new thing, and they're going to put a camera in, and we just need your phone to interface with, and kind of we'll just tap in to be okay. And I'm going, no. I want Jarvis. I want my own. I want Precariat. I want my own AI. I don't have a problem with technology and AI, but I want it freaking mine. You know, I don't want it to be given whatever it's getting, and for convenience, I'm giving up my DNA sample, and an anal probe. I got to walk around with a wire. No, don't worry. This anal probe is more like a butt plug, and it's wireless, okay? So you'll be plugged in. You'll be okay. Don't worry about it. I go, can I get it in the – can I be Marvin the Martian? Can I be my favorite Martian and have little antennas that go in and I don't even notice it, and they come and they just automatically pop? Oh, we can make them subcranial, man. It could be on your brain. You won't even see it. Won't even know. Well, shit, that's convenient. Plug my ass in.
Exactly.
Okay? So I'm going, what is the attitude? If you don't come with the foundational fundamental, the only purpose of government is defense of individual rights, to be able to say no. No to vaccines. No to mandatory upgrades. No to prevention of an upgrade. And you go to Dr. Idris Barber, that's one that we're going to print out and do and so on for Forkfest and Porkfest and so on, and Anarcha Vegas, is that it's all about I own myself. You know, Dr. Idris Barber does that pretty well, and it has a lot of you in there. You read that. There's a lot of quote, a lot of kind of, flavor, a lot of Frank. You need to read that one. Dr. Idris Barber, we'll have you read it before you leave. And that's short. But the point is that when any of these guys recognize that I should be allowed to do whatever tech I want, to my body, to myself, to my this, to that kind of live and kind of Jarvis, and it be my data, I'm good. They go, nope, 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 nope. It's got to be Alexa. It's got to go through the cloud of we get to see and turn off an NSA. And I'm going, no, I don't want to do that. Where's Trump? Is he all individual then? Or is he nation state of we rule you? And we got the NSA and we get to see every freaking thing because America. America, great. America what? America me? America Inc.? Who am I against? So now we got, it segues into the Trump social media. They're looking at, hell yeah, when it matters the most, it's going to be, and you're off. So if they're staying on Twitter, they're morons, okay? They got to, do bunch of whatever, but go do something that can't. So amid censorship fears, Trump campaign checking out alternative social network Parler, and it's pronounced
as
French.
Have you heard of that?
No. It's pronounced parlay. It's like, it kind of sounds piratey. Little bit of parlay.
Trump's trying to be sophisticated.
He's going to be piratey. All right, so we can see it. They've been banned from Facebook, purged from Twitter, and blocked from Instagram. Some of them have been barred from setting foot on the continent of Australia. But you can still find them all on the fledgling social media network, Parler. Now, I think they say parlay. We'll say parlay. The Twitter-like platform was initially hatched last year as a tool for digital news outlets to claw revenue back from big social networks like Facebook. But as those platforms purge some of the internet's most inflammatory supporters of President Donald Trump over posts deemed dangerous or offensive, Parlay has carved out a niche among those banned right-wing influencers like Gavin McInnes, Laura Loomer, Milo Yiannopoulos, blah, blah, blah. As conservative distrust of social media giants rises to the top of Washington's political agenda, Parlay has also gained the notice of some bona fide Republican leaders. Well, hell, leaders. Trump campaign manager Brad Parscale and Utah Senator Mike Lee both began posting on the site this month. According to one person close to Trump's campaign, the president's team is considering setting him up with an account on the site. A senior Trump campaign official said that there was no imminent plan to have the president join the platform, but that Parscale is scouting Parlay. It's something he's aware of and is checking out, the official said of Parscale, whatever that means. We don't currently have a plan to make a big move to the platform. Having Trump's imprimatur, whatever that means, imprimatur, what does that mean? Imprimatur. Having Trump's imprimatur would give the platform overnight cachet and satisfy calls from his social media savvy supporters for the president to stick it to Silicon Valley companies with which he maintains a strained symbiotic relationship.
Hey, Ernie.
Blah, blah, blah.
Ernie, I just downloaded right now.
Are you down? You signed up?
I'm doing it right
you're
now.
On.
I'm doing it right now.
Yeah, where's Trump?
There we go.
Where's Trump? Let me know how that works out.
He's going to call me at 5 a.m. like he did.
Let me you get, you know, in a minute earlier.
So Parlor. Yeah, P-A-R-L-O-R.
Well, it's French, and it means parlay. I think it's, you know.
That's what it's pronounced.
Right here. See, it says parlor, parlay, French, to speak.
Hey, wait. That's what I have. It's
Social
media.
Parlor. Ah, see, they scammed you in. Yeah. See, and you totally agreed. I'll bet you.
No. See right there. So I just put in
the social. So what? They just spell it differently. Parlor. Say P A R L E R.
Oh, look, you're right. Look
yeah.
At that.
See.
Oh.
See. 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 They sucked your ass in. Okay.
Let's
see?
Make sure we get the spelling correct.
No. Hey, that's how I lost a Bitcoin one time. Okay. Parlor versus Parlay.
Parlay.
This is funny.
So, guys, so there's two. There was P-A-R-L-E-R, which is the parlay that, you know, Ernie's trying to sound all French and sophisticated, but he's correct. And then when I put in Parlor, it's spell checked it automatically and put Parlor. And when I did the app, there's a social media app called Parlor. And then it turns out there is also the same type of, you know, the same section of Parlay. Both are instant social media apps. So I'm not sure if it was meant to be. Now, it's interesting. Now, Parlor, the one I was scammed
on.
They
got gazillions
of
people.
That was about 1,000 downloads here on the Apple Mac Store.
Now, what's the other one?
Parlay, only 31. And it has 5-star reviews, Parlay, the Trump one, whereas Parlor only has like 3.5 for what it's worth. But, you know, it's 31. And I wonder how many people are going to be driven to it.
Okay, now which one am I supposed to be doing here?
Well,
Parlor. Yeah.
Comment, follow media, create news. So those are the three options.
Yeah, no, it's the same thing. They're just busting your chops here, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, Parlor is like Parlor. So Parlor. Okay. God, man, these guys are freaking. See, and he's started yet, and they're already screwed.
They're already playing.
Right. See, you got sucked in, man. They got all your phone data. You're done. Next, I bet you totally agreed.
No.
You agreed? Did you? It says
no.
You
all
download,
I did was
agreed,
download.
Totally
the
agreed.
App.
Well, Apple is a totally agreeer anyway. So, okay. So Parlor. I want to make sure I get to the right one here. Parlor. Okay, which one's which? God dang it, man. Okay, Parlor CEO. Parlor. Social media. See Parlor. About Parlor. Okay, so Parlor. Let's do that one. That's why. Yeah, let's talk Parlor. Parlay. Founded in 2018 in based in Henderson, Nevada, Parlor, pronounced Parlay. Yeah, say it's Parlay. Is a French verb that means to speak. After being exhausted with a lack of transparency in big tech, blah, 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 blah. free speech, parlors non-biased, free speech driven, yada yada. All right, Donna, I'm going to send you a link that has the guys that are these guys, and go ahead and get them on. And should I even talk to the other guys or just talk to these guys and go, what? Yeah, what the hell are you guys, you being scumbags? I knew you got being scum, you know, radio. All right. We'll try and get these guys on. Now, that's what I always say. You got to check. Because they, for exactly this reason, exactly this way, right. For exactly this method, exactly, they got Mr. Trump Report to download the wrong social media onto his iPhone, and therefore he is compromised. Don't listen to that god dang thing he says anymore, some bitch. He downloaded the wrong freaking thing. All right, so parlay, parlor, login, home. Let's go to home.
Yeah.
All right, parlay. Read, speak free. Now, this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there I got the, parlor. Let's see if we can just change one word, if that's where it'll go. Parlor. Doesn't have that one. Where was it that it went to? It doesn't matter. So anyway, he went on the App Store and got down the wrong one. He totally screwed now. And anything he does on Parlay is now going to be ruled by the
man.
You really
just got to exaggerate things, don't you?
You know, the audience knows I'm not. Yeah, no, he got you. You're compromised.
We just warned how many. Dude, there's no account, and we just warned the whole audience
Damn
to look
Skippy.
Out for the red herring. So you're welcome.
All right. So this is, it's par,
anyway,
parlor.
The point is,
parler.com pronounced parlay.
Yeah.
Because it's French. Right. So
we all love the French, right?
Whatever.
So. Anyway, this is the information war,
which is a pirate
where
term.
Alex Jones was prescient on, of course, and that's what 2020 is going to be, the information wars, and it's going to begin now. I mean, it's already started, it's resetting the terms. It's it's also changing the culture. I mean, this is what's also occurred. You know, there was a guy, Larry Elders. You know, he's the conservative, the black gentleman from Fox, the conservative, and he made an interesting point. He said, you know, for the last 50-100 years, it seemed that when you finished work or if you graduated college, let's say, you wanted to be in New York, in Manhattan. That was the place to be. It was sort of, if you could make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. The top agencies, industries, companies, it was all New York, Manhattan. That was the place to show you succeeded. Now, it's not Manhattan anymore. It's Silicon Valley. It's Seattle. It's SpaceX. That when people graduate now, they don't want to be in Manhattan as much.
Hell, they even got graduated. They just got to pass a test.
Yeah. But it was an interesting point how the culture has changed and what's considered success and where the focus is. So it's dominating the culture through technology. And, you know, and those people, they're all in their 20s and 30s, and they were indoctrinated through a couple decades of the progressive left that's taken over the school boards, took over education, became tenured professors from the 1960s, couldn't get a real job, and all of a sudden now they're all tenured. They couldn't keep
Trump should be shot because he's mean to kittens.
Which is another example about why maybe you might want to get involved, if nothing else, in your local school. Would you be up for being part of the school board? I mean, you're homeschooling your kids, which is a little different.
No, because I tell you what happened.
That's an important
point. Tucson, there's a guy named Scott Stewart that literally is a rocket scientist at Hughes Missile Systems, which now is Raytheon, where hell it is down there. And he was a libertarian officer in the party down in Tucson. He's been there for decades. I've known him for 30 years. And, we're not necessarily on the same side a lot of times, but, you know, we get along fine. And he became on the board of directors of the school, whatever, for the community college system down there. And one thing that was interesting, when he came on, the first thing that he did is they changed it where you couldn't squelch free speech on campus. That was the first thing he did. He goes, nope, I'm not doing. No, that's the first thing. Well, then of course they went after and arrested libertarians for protesting debate that they weren't in, kind of whatever. And then they did it, and they go, hey, we just changed this over here. Like, you're in violation of pay the boy, pay the money. We just passed the violation of, and you squelch, God, we're going to court. And he, damn it, and they paid him off. Okay. Because a libertarian got up there and said, you're not able to. That was the first thing he did, was you're not able to squelch free speech on campus. Well, that just pissed him off. So now you got, so does it have an impact? Yeah. But it's not a paid position, which is, you know, whatever. How much time does he spend? A lot. And to what end is how we're going to spend the money that we stole from you. So I'm just like, I'm not into that. I just can't. It's like, how are we going to semi-indoctrinate and change into mandatory of your children? Oh, gee, I want to be on that board, you know? I'm like, hell no, I'll be on the board of suck it. You know, the initiative bite me. You know, if I participate, which I'm going to do 2020-something, we're going to do something. Oh, Derek Brose, Conscientious Resistance, he is running for Mr. Freaking Anarchist, it's all spiritual, kumbaya, if we just get our mind right, is running for mayor of Houston. And just that's who I was texting with a little bit today. He and a couple, I said, the deal is you and a couple of guys, you get three guys, volunteer for 5 days, come here. You don't got any cost of anything, and we'll raise a few $100, get you some material making signs, and go kick ass. We'll do some artwork, whatever. We got it taken care of. You just get your ass here.
I have a question.
This running for mayor, Houston.
This is tangential, and I probably should ask when Adam was here. But do you think that since Trump is president now, has that – increased or decreased
Trump membership? Actually being president.
Yeah. So since Trump won, it has that increased or decreased the numbers in the Libertarian Party?
I don't know. Don't care.
Come on, you don't care.
Why would I care?
You talk about
the hell does that have to do with the party?
To do
with woo, we're free. We got more membership. Bill Weld opened up some purse strings with some billionaires.
You can't
or something.
Win with you, man.
No, I mean that don't mean nothing to me.
All right,
it's attitude.
You
it's,
don't care,
it's opinions. General public opinion.
Has it increased
representation? Increased voter. You know, this is the one thing. This is the argument for decades. I go to Libertarian. I go, what's your metric? Oh, how many national members do we have? How much money do we raise? How many votes do we get? How many people we got running for office? Well, in Arizona in the 90s, early 2000s. Raised shitloads more money, got way more oppressed, had a lot of people, you know, turning and gutting and kind of the smallest quiz of I believe and I get and, you know, and Fiji and gun rights and fully informed juries and not count, you know, leave me aloneism and boom, we went, woo, we got that membership up. We got that. Vote totals up. Man, we got,
dude,
but they don't
stop.
Care if they're not in charge. Stop. And I'm going, all look, right. Those metrics of how many people, you know, kissed a ring and paid for national membership? Don't give a shit. Don't mean nothing. It's a general public opinion of leave me aloneism. I'm done. That, we are winning. That, people, you're still voting?
Did you know?
There's more.
Ernie, I know.
That Trump and the D and all of them are full of crap and the European Union and all this government got. Winning that one.
There's this chick out there. Her name's Kim Kardashian. I know you probably don't know much about her, but she's what's called
Booty.
She's known as
Big Booty.
This is the new term now that people like what people will use. She's known as an influencer. That's the official term now.
Yeah,
you're an
so
influencer.
Is PewDiePie. That's why you got to get on the train or
and
you're
an influencer.
Not.
So, yeah, she has a handbag and everyone buys the handbag. And it's amazing. You've got these
Kanye West says one century
students.
Of the self.
High school Boom. Students sit there and show how to do makeup, and all of a sudden they're consoled. They're called an influencer for marketing purposes.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You may not be Kim Kardashian. I don't think you look like her, but the thing is, people like Adam were members of the Libertarian Party when you're a paid due member, which I know you're like, one more organization, tell me what to do, blah, blah, blah. The thing is that when you're a paid member, it means that you are an influencer for every Adam. How many people do you think Adam influences? And I say in a good way.
Couple.
How about his book, Freedom?
Couple.
Because he's busy. He's part of the party. He's helping keep
the
narrative
alive.
He ain't
the right kind of influence, though. That he ain't getting a push.
Well, you know, I don't want to get into the
you're
politics there. I'm
banned.
Talking about why it's important if you're going to be a member of even the anarchy group. Being a member of an anarchist group is because you are an influencer and you're helping drive the narrative and collect ideas and discuss and figure out ways to spread the message. That is why it's important to know how many people are in the Libertarian Party. I'm just curious if the Libertarian Party in general did it hemorrhage
the Libertarian
members, like the Alex Jones and those types of people.
Libertarian movement's way bigger
Gary
outside
Franchi,
the party.
You know, Gary Franchi just got his million listener YouTube. It was kind of cool. He put it on YouTube. He got the trophy at his house in the mail. He put up the video. It was kind of cool. He had his son open up the YouTube gift, and it had the 1 million viewer, and he's really proud of it.
A subscriber?
Subscriber on YouTube. And by the way, he opens it in the den of his house. He's got a little mini arcade there. He's got like 7 or 8 arcade games in his den. It's kind of, I'm like, wow, Gary, pretty cool. You should check it out. Yeah. But anyway, he just got a million subscribers, right? So he's an influencer himself, but he was part of the Libertarian Party. Now he's all trumped up, right?
He was just never a Libertarian.
Well, when you're sitting there doing Freedom to Fascism and with Dr. Paul and
it was Restore the Republic.
Off.
It Republican.
He identified as Libertarian, just like Alex Jones identified more Libertarian, and just like myself. But the Libertarian Party has lost many of us who become more for other
reasons. Oh, yeah, you were Libertarian about the individual sovereign of I own me kind of
people. Yes, yes. Yeah. Well, I'm not that Libertarian.
Yeah, you're not that
I'm not
Libertarian.
That Libertarian. No, I'm Libertarian. I was Libertarian Party registered for my entire life. Well, up until a number of years ago, I switched to Republican. But that was really for Ron Paul.
You're
I became a Republican.
Justin Amash Libertarian.
I became a Republican with Dr. Ron Paul. Now, with that said, though, the Libertarian Party has, I would say, maybe split, but I might be wrong. So maybe from your point of view,
the Libertarian Party is whatever somebody gives $100,000 to buy.
Maybe the Libertarian Party has taken off because maybe Donald Trump is so evil and it brought in more libertarians and more money. And the Bill Welds, maybe they did grow the party. Maybe not your Libertarian.
No, they are trying to suppress. They're afraid of a Jesse Ventura, another Ron Paul, another Brexit, another Italy of this or that or something. That's what they're afraid
of. Why, they'll be relative again?
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
Relevant.
This freedom-oriented kind of the whole message of hardcore libertarian is the big giant tsunami that they're freaking afraid of. And if I give deference to the Libertarian Party, then it makes it the target. It makes it an easy target. Well, therefore, Ernie says it's a libertarian. Well, we just get in charge and wear the shiny badge of the libertarian, and then we rule, you know, and we got that covered. I'm like, hell no. Hell, you're still voting? Hell no. Libertarianism is not about voting. It is about an opinion, a general opinion, a state of mind, a default thought process of who owns me, who has, and who's going to defend the rights of the individual against the collective in the state. That's what this collective state USA, whatever the hell they call it, is supposed to be. That was the point.
Right.
Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights. That is the freaking point. So when Steve Bannon gets up and he says, I'm not a libertarian. You know, I'm about, we got, you know, national defend us against all these other nationals going to kick our ass national.
He's a nationalist populist.
You know, yeah. And I'm going, okay.
Which is not a conservative.
To what end?
But
so you can rule me or so I can rule myself. And they never, ever, 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 ever say that. All they got to say is yes, we're nationalist. We're for the United States of America, Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration, kind of, you know, America. To what end? So we can rule you and get your stuff and it's ours. And I'm going, no, hell no, that's not even the promise.
Ernie, did you defend or did you mock Dr. Paul when he talked about focusing on the 10th Amendment? That states' rights should trump the national government.
Didn't care.
You didn't care.
I didn't even look.
You didn't even look.
No, because, you know, my thing was, could I put my head down and plow and him and just, you know, what, you know, just look at, keep him up on the podium. Keep him up on the podium. Keep him up on the podium. And it was the same.
Why, if you didn't
it was the same thing with Judge Buttrick when he ran for governor in 94. I don't, we're close enough that I don't have to babysit everything he says. Why? Because he goes up and he says, hell, Adam Kokesh got him to say in one of his videos. Ron Paul goes, I'm a voluntarist, peaceful and voluntary. Down to the individual. You own yourself. Boom. I'm good. All this other stuff is politics.
Then why does Dr. Paul support the 10th Amendment? If it doesn't matter, it's about the individual. Why does he focus so much on the 10th Amendment?
I don't know.
You don't know. Yeah. I love your
because it's 10th Amendment. He's going because he's making the argument down to the
there end. There we go.
Down closer
there
to the.
There we go.
Well,
there we
and
go.
There we go point. With Bumper Hornberger, Jacob Hornberger. I just call him Bumper. So Bumper Hornberger, same thing. You know, he's going to be the Constitution. He's going to do that. Oh, my God, the Constitution. But he argues it from a libertarian perspective.
All right.
He's going to go, the Constitution says this. This is why it went off the rails in this case of so-and-so versus such-and-such. If they went and they had the extra, FDR did, we rule in the United Nation of Wilson of the war of blah, 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 which is all the more reason why I go, I don't give a shit about none of it. You know, are they defending the rights of the individual? Well, in this part, they were supposed to. That was their mindset. The Anti-Federalists warned them. They said, if you do this, this is going to happen. Nuh-uh. Yeah, and then it happens. They go, well, you know, it's kind of, you know, in birth pangs of we're growing towards the end of something. Okay? Steve Bannon. So I get it. It's just that they're not doing me any good to think. And this is something Starchild makes a big thing out of. San Francisco, Starchild.
Oh, no, but Paul Stanley from KISS.
No.
He's the Star Child.
No.
I'm just trying to get it right.
Star Child is, hell, I remember his real name. Anyway, Star Child in the libertarian movement.
Cool.
He's a gay escort sex service guy in his 30s, 40s, whatever the hell, good looking, you know, does his push-ups out of San Francisco. He's run for school board. You know, so, and smart guy, he's got it going. He is big against nationalism. That is his big thing. And he was saying it years ago. He's going, let me tell you guys, he'd speak. And, of course, he'd be in his tutu or dress or Statue of Liberty. He's always dressed up for something. But the boy's smart. And he goes like this. He says, look, this nationalism thing, that's what we need to be against. This is, they're going to use the same mechanism. They'll say, oh, but we're sovereign and national, and we rule our, you know, farm our livestock this way and kind of nationalism. So he makes a big issue. This is what you're going
why?
To see coming.
Why is such a problem?
Because it legitimizes the state. His whole thing is that, and I agree with him. What they're doing is saying, well, the state, it's a Jack Ryan thing. You know, it's a Tom Clancy. In every one of his novels, the problem is not the system. It's that the wrong guy's in it. Well, if Jack Ryan was president, well, then we'd fix it. This is how I'd fix it. That's why I see Trump is. It was abandoned. All these things all these guys say, well, if you go, because I started off that way in trade. This whole thing that I started in the late 80s was all about trade. I'm going, this is so stupid. They got the GATT, the Uruguay round of the GATT treaties, and then NAFTA came, and this, you did that going, you're doing it wrong. If you did it this way and loud and kind of, you know, tore up the paper and said the door's open and peace out, or you had the tariffs at least be the same of what they're charging, or you did kind of exactly what Trump is doing now. He's doing the economic war. You want a trade war? Let's do a trade war. And I guarantee freaking we win. China, you guys want to play? Go ahead. We're calling your bluff. Now what? And they're like, shit, I hate when they do that. We hate Trump because he's calling our bluff. Mother freaking rocking robot. So I'm going, yeah.
We are going to drain the swamp in Washington.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that one. You better hit another one.
Oh,
man.
That's coming. Oh, that's coming. We didn't even get to all that.
Yeah.
I mean, turn around.
So my thing is when you say, well, wouldn't it be better if you, I'm going, no, it's not better. It's closer
to the individual.
No, it's just turning down the frog temperature a little bit. You get a little uncomfortable in your pot. Let me turn it down a little bit. Yeah, we'll turn it up later. After you get get their hands off the dial so that we are the ones on the dial.
You know, because I care about you and your blood pressure and all, and I have to get going. I have a patient a little bit. So I'm going to give you the last word. So what would make Don is gone. What would make Ernie Hancock happy? So I just want to know what would make it. So obviously going from the globalist takeover, the one world order, that the fact that within weeks, all of Europe and the world is putting the brakes on, going back closer to the individual of nationalism, not imperialism, but nationalism of just the having the laboratories of maybe democracy, but the laboratories of
U.S. nationalism turns into this imperial thing.
We're getting away from this one world takeover. I mean, this is astounding.
Oh, yeah, we'll be
this
closing military
closer,
bases tomorrow.
But the fact that you still want to find every reason to just diss on it and say, oh, it's the same thing. Say, all right, fine. So just real quick. So tell me what it would make Ernie Hancock happy. You're pirate ship, and Ron Paul gets in, which you don't want him in prison anyway, and he gets rid of the entire Constitution, gets rid of all the rules, and everyone gets their chickens, and you go off in your little floating
pirate ship,
and I mean, just tell me real quick, what would make you happy? Because nothing else I've brought up today seems to make Ernie Hancock happy.
The general public opinion that each individual owns themselves.
Well, I got that one.
right. Everything else falls.
Well, then
that.
We agree. We should.
So anything that you do, a campaign like Bumper doing it, you know, making the old Constitution, it's there to support the kind of Declaration of Independence, right. Declare your independence, Ernest Hancock. All that is about that opinion. You're thinking, you know, does voting represent that in some way? Yeah, maybe this Brexit and dissatisfaction and they suck and the Trump, you know, phenom and all this other stuff it's bringing. Yeah, yeah, that's make. I'm grinning a little bit. Yeah, I'm seeing. Yeah, yeah, but. When that is all used and finally it gets to where, yeah, we're all sovereign nations of you get to rule your slaves, you know, your way. Yeah, I want to escape. Nope, we got a treaty with you're not allowed. And we're going to extradite Assange and you know, and Manning's going to stay in forever and always kind of challenge the state. So I'm just going, it's a state worship. It's Star Child is saying it's this nationalism state worship. That is the problem. What am I against? That philosophy. Now they tone it down a little bit or bring it more local, and I'm going, is that better? Not really, because they're not acknowledging that the whole purpose of them is defense of the individual, and until that happens, I'm going to be against the whole freaking thing.
Well, look, if nothing else, the saving grace, I see it, is that when you have separate nations, then they are responsible for themselves, and if one of them goes rogue, then the collective of opinions can basically take them out, like what happened with Germany and the Nazis, right? Because if you have one world government, all you need is one fascist or anybody. I don't want any one person running the world. And just like when you have different states and the states, when states had rights before, you know, before
there's
the Civil
no
War,
state, there's corporation, there's
I'm talking
there's
about
banks.
Before the concept was that the states trump the federal government. That is what this country was founded with, that principle. The Civil War put that upside down, which is what we're still fighting over today about states' rights. But if we go from the globalist with the whole world under one thumb from
Swift
Brussels,
system.
The bullies from Brussels, as they say, and that has just been reversed going down to the countries. And now a country like America can now sit back and say, okay, now that we're not going to be-
What do you think is going
to
happen?
To the UN and the EU, now we're individual as a country. So then as a country, then we can go further, and maybe a Dr. Paul can get in next time, because he couldn't with the establishment, and a future Dr. Paul, or maybe Rand, could get in and then focus it more towards the states' rights, which, by the way, we found-
better get on
the
legal tender laws then, because this is all banking.
I you know, at the end of the day, you and I agree, man, that so much of this is just the money. So anyway, I got to finish up. I have to get run out of here. Word here? Should we give it to Donald or
no?
I'm
glad that we have these conversations. Yeah, I think it pointing towards they suck. You know, they're like, you know, the media sucks. They lie to us. They don't. And then CNN is like, oh, we're gonna start telling the truth now. You know?
They're down 64%.
Yeah, what other choice they got? It's all about credibility. It's just, you know, so where are we? You know, are we getting supported? Are we getting blank? You know, that's another thing. We found, you know, different spam lists that we're on and getting the thing. And they're doing whatever they can to control emails you get on the dispatch and everything. So we're working on different stuff. I'm sitting here watching this as a, you know, trying to see the forest above, you know, kind of everything going, yeah, I see where the future is. It's going to be privacy. It's going to be immutability of data. That's where this parlay thing comes in. Now, of course, they got a trick, you know, freaking par next of we got your data. You know, of course they did. And got Frank right off the bat. That was awesome. Okay. All right.
Donald Trump, an intellectual. Trust me, I'm like a smart person.
He's a smart person. All right, we'll leave it with a smart person. All right, peace, guys.